Today's shiur is Masechta Nedarim Daf Nun Vav, and we will begin on Daf Nun Vav Amud Aleph at the Mishnah on top of Amud. Says the Mishnah, Noidim Rabayis. If somebody made a neder that it will not benefit, not enter a home, the halacha is Mutta Baliyah. He's allowed to go into the upper story. We know that in times of Chazal, the homes typically had two floors. The lower floor was called the bayis. The upper floor was called the aliyah. And our Mishnah is teaching us that hanoidim and abayis, if somebody said that he won't go into the house, muta baliyah de vere meyah. According to Rameyah, bayis only means the first floor, not the top floor. The Chamraim and the Chum disagree. Aliyah b'chlal abayis. They say that when somebody says bayis, they also mean the aliyah. However, says the Mishnah, everybody agrees that hanoidim and aliyah, if somebody made a neder that he won't enter the upper story, that doesn't include the lower story, and therefore mutar b'bayis, he may enter the first floor. The Torah discusses the parasha of Nigei Batim. The parasha of Nigei Batim is that under certain circumstances, a home that is afflicted with certain discolorations on the wall is considered a home that has a nega. And there are specific halachas that first the kohen has to come examine the home and at times close off the home until sometimes the home has to be destroyed. There's interesting vart from Bjoinus and Eipschitz, which ties in very nicely. Interesting, two different concepts that he ties together very nicely. The concept of Nedarim to the concept of Nigei Batim. He says, the Torah says, if when Klai Yisrael comes to Tzav Nusati Nega Tzaras Bebayis Eretz Achuzaschem, and a Nega, you find a Nega in the home. And we know, as the Torah teaches us, that why do Negaim come? A person, his home, his clothing, himself, can be afflicted with Negaim because the person didn't act properly. It's a message from God. So ask Rav Yonis and Eipschitz. Klal Yisrael certainly did not act any worse than the Goyim who were in Eretz Yisrael before them. Yet when the Goyim were in Eretz Yisrael, we never find an issue of Negam. There's only an issue once Kisavo al Oretz, when we start entering Eretz Yisrael. Why are the Negam when the Jews own the homes and not when the Goyim own the homes? So he says, we've learned in our Masechta concept. Ein odem oyser davish ein shloi. I can't tell you this Gemara that you own should be also to you. It's not my Gemara. Only my item I could answer to you. Tells us the Torah. You know why if a guy acts improperly in his home, a nega doesn't come? Because it's not his. Eretz Yisrael doesn't belong to them. It's only kisavol eretz. Nasati neged tzaras b'bayis eretz achuzaschem. Eretz Yisrael and its homes belong to us, Klal Yisrael. And then we have a concept of Adam oisa davar shelo, a person can cause prohibitions, cause iser on something that he owns. So the pasuk says the Gemara, man tana, who's the tana that taught us the following b'raisa? B'bayis, that the pasuk uses the words b'bayis regarding the dinim of nega, Batim, Nigei Batim, L'rabbis as Yitzia. The teacher says Yitzia, the two pshatim, the Rishonim. Some say Yitzia is like a porch, a veranda. Another pshat is that they used to have a room that didn't really have walls. It was just windows, the entire room, typically in the front or the back of the house. That room is also considered part of the home. The bayis, L'rabbis as Aliyah. And the pasuk comes to teach us that not if there's a nega on the first floor, the second floor is also included, that it's a home that now has an issue with a nega. Tosfos, the Ran, quote a girsa from a brisa that also includes in this brisa the teachers, the bayis l'rabbis es atzavua. And they explain as follows. Tzavua means painted. The halach is, interesting halacha, that we just spoke about in the negaim of clothing, which are susceptible, clothing are also susceptible to negaim. But let's say you had a garment that was made out of a natural fiber, a wool, a linen, but it was dyed. The halacha is that garment is no longer susceptible to dinim of negoim. So one would think that the same applies to a helm. That if the helm was painted, it's no longer susceptible to the dinim of nigei batim. Teaches us the b'raisa, the b'ayis l'rabbis of the tzavur, that a helm was painted, it's still susceptible. Who is the tanim this b'raisa? Says the Gemara, seemingly, Amr of Chizda Rameihi. It seems to be following the opinion of Rameya. The Rabbanon, if we're going to say that this b'raisa represents the opinion of Rabbanon, ha Amri Rabbanon ali b'chlal b'ayis, lomali krav b'ayis l'rabuye. The Torah is telling us a special pasuk, the extra b'ayis, to teach us that the whole home becomes susceptible. But according to Rabbanon, that's obvious. Our Mishnah taught us that when somebody says bias, aliyah is automatically included according to the Rabbanan. So if we need a special limud, the bias, l'rabbis is aliyah, that means that the aliyah is not automatically included. Whose opinion is that? The opinion of Rameya. So Rushash asks a very fundamental question. The subject of the last number of shurim we've been discussing is b'nedarim holchem achalosh v'nei adam. Nedarim don't necessarily follow the definition, the wording, the terminology used in the Torah. The goyim follow the way we speak. So that's why we have in the Mishnah, if somebody said the bias, we have a machlokes Ramei Rabbanan, is the aliyah included, is the aliyah not included? So why do you bring a rye from what the Torah says? That has nothing to do with loshem v'nei adam. So the Rishash and other achrayim say a very fundamental answer. Fundamental in our understanding of the concept of Nedarim Holchem Achalosh Vnei Adam. Absolutely, they say. Nedarim, we follow the way we speak, not necessarily the way the Torah speaks. However, say the Mefarshim, what will be the halacha if it's not clear what people mean when they say a certain word? Where do we refer back to understand how to use that word? We refer back to the Torah. So yes, the word b'bayis is an ambiguous word, as our Mishnah so indicates. It could include the aliyah, it may not include the aliyah. How do I know what to do? I look at the Torah. What does the Torah mean when it says the word b'bayis? And here it's clear that the Torah teaches us that b'bayis does not automatically include aliyah, which seems to indicate the opinion of the Rabbanim. Abayama, afilatem Rabbanim. It can represent the opinion of Rabbanim. Baikra. And even though the Rabbanan say that when we say bias, the aliyah is automatically included, I still need a special pasuk to say that regarding nigei batim, that if the bias is affected, the aliyah is also affected. The sakadat chamina, since the Torah, and we quoted this pasuk earlier, when it speaks about nigei batim, uses the words bebayis eretz achazaskam ksiv, so one would think the mechuba ba'arosh shmei bias, only what's connected to the floor, to the ground, of Eretz Yisrael is considered a home susceptible to nigei batim. However, the aliyah, haloi mechaba ba'aretz, it's not connected to the ground. The aliyah is the second story. That's why, even though when the word bias is used, the rabbanon hold, aliyah is always included, here we need a special limit. Ask the Gemara. Kaman ozlo, hod the omer, rav huna b'chi mishmeid ula. According to whom will the following halacha follow? Bias b'beis yani moichalach. If somebody sells to someone else a home and he uses the words bias b'beisi, marei aliyah. So halacha is it includes the upper floor. And as the Rishonim explained, the Gemara, this is really mainly a sugya mesecht menachas stuff kufches. The halacha is whatever we have a seller and a buyer, and there's a debate between the seller and the buyer. The seller has the upper hand because he's a muchzik. He's holding on to the helm. And you are mitzvah mechaveira. You, the buyer, want to take it away. You have to prove that your position is the correct position. So if someone, when he sold the home, used the somewhat peculiar words of b'bayis b'beis ani moichalach, there the halacha is marei aliyah. I could say that I meant to sell you the upper floor. What do we see? Only time of the amaloi bayis should be based on imaychalach, because he specifically used this sort of not typical terminology. Av bayis tam, But if he would just use the word bias, not this peculiar terminology, bias b'beisi, ain't a maraliyah, then the liyah is not what's considered bias. Isn't that the opinion, lame rameyahi? Shouldn't that be the opinion of rameyah? Because according to Rabbanon, the liyah is automatically included in a bias. So why only if I use the words bias b'beisi is the liyah included? Why isn't it included even if I just use the word bias? Because as we learned in our Mishnah, according to Rabbanon, the Aliyah is always automatically included. Answers the Gemara, I feel a time of Rabbanon. It even follows the opinion of Rabbanon. My Aliyah, what does Aliyah he mean? It doesn't mean the upper story. Absolutely, says the Gemara. If I use the words bias, we follow the opinion of the Rabbanon, and bias can mean the lower floor, bias can mean the upper floor. What here it means when it says Aliyah, it doesn't mean which story, which floor of the home. It means Mu'ulash Rabatim. As I said earlier, when I sell you a home, and let's say I own a number of houses, and there's a question, which house do I mean? So the seller has the upper hand, and I could give you the worst of the bunch. But if I sell you with the wording bias b'beisi, why did I use those words? Says the Gemara, to mean that I'm going to sell you my best of my homes, and that's what I mean with Aliyah. Aliyah doesn't mean upper floor, lower floor. Aliyah means m'ula, the best of my homes. There's an interesting shaila that the Rishonim discuss. Our Gemara seems to say that if we use the words bias b'beisi, then the buyer has the upper hand. Whereas if we learn the Gemara Masechta Menachos, it seems that even under these circumstances, the seller still remains with the upper hand. And many Rishonim, in fact, say that there's a machloikis between the Gemara Masechet Nedarim and the Gemara Masechet Menachos. In a case of bias b'beisi, does the buyer or the seller have the upper hand? Our Gemara is seeming to say that the buyer has the upper hand. The Gemara Masechet Menachos seeming to say that the seller has the upper hand. And the halacha follows the Gemara Masechet Menachos that the seller indeed has the upper hand. There are other Rishonim that have ways of trying to reconcile the two sugyas. As we finish the sugya, there's a very interesting psak that I saw from the Rishonim. If somebody says, I will not enter a room in your home, so I'm not allowed to enter a room in your home. But let's say you have in your home some very small rooms that are not the size of dalet al dalet amos, 4x4 amos. Since the halacha does not consider a room of such a small size a room, even though I'm not allowed to enter the other rooms of your home, I would be allowed to enter the rooms that are not dalet al dalet. Says the Mishnah, Hanoidim and Amita, if somebody makes a neder that he won't benefit from a bed, Mutta b'dargish, divrei meya. And what a dargish is, we're going to spend the time learning in a moment. Chamayim, dargish b'chal mita. The dargish is also considered a bed. However, everyone agrees that Hanoidim and a dargish, if somebody made a neder that he won't benefit from a dargish, Mutta b'mita. Ask the Gemara, my dargish, what is a dargish? Omu'ula, arsa degada. And there are three pshatim that I saw in arsa degada. Just to say the taitch of the word, the definition of the word arsa degada. Arsa degada means a bed of good luck. God means good mazel. So some Rishonim explain, and this is not the pshat that most Rishonim follow, that they had a nice big bed, and it's sometimes hard to climb up to a big bed. So they used to have like a small couch before the bed that they used to use to climb up from the floor onto the couch onto their bed. So that small couch was not really used for sleeping. It was just used to get up to the bed. That's how some Rishonim learn. But most Rishonim say, as the name that we just defined implies, it was a bed of good luck. And there's two pshatim. One pshat is that they held that it's considered a good mazel to have a bed in the home just for to bring good luck. And the Mefarshim obviously ask, wouldn't that be an issue of nichush? We don't believe in superstition. And they say it's no different than a kisa shel Eliyahu that we have at a bris. So the bris, that's not nichush, we're inviting Eliyahu Novi. And this also is for that good mazel. Then there's another interesting pshat. Very interesting pshat. The malach, who is appointed over wealth, loves cleanliness. Loves when something is neat and clean. The malach who's appointed over poverty loves a mess. And as we've learned and is known in the times of Chazal, the bed, the couch, was a very important part of the house. We sleep on a bed, but they used to eat sitting on the couch and do business sitting on the couch. And they wanted to have good luck. And it was hard to keep all the couches or all the beds in the house clean. So they had one bed, couch in the house, that was always kept neat and clean. And that should be the reason that the malach of Ashiris, the malach of wealth, should come to the house and bring wealth to the house. So that's the Aris de Gada. Amalei Rabbanan Ula asked the Rabbanan Tula, your definition of Dargish is Aris de Gada, Hadatnan. We learned the Gemara, Masech the Ma'id Katan, the Gemara Masech the Sanhedrin. We know, Chmona Utslan, when somebody becomes an Ovel, and he comes home from the Levaya, we give him a Sudas Avra. A Sudas Avra means that the first meal is food that's not his. It's food that others provide for him. The reason being the Chazal were concerned that the person in his great anguish will not want to eat, and he has to eat. So others will come and bring him food. The Gemara also speaks about, we're not going to learn Hilchos Avelos today, about bringing bread and wine. And the Gemara, the Mishnah discusses there, what is the halacha when a king, Rechmal Islam, becomes an oval? Says the Gemara, Kishay Mavernay Soy, when they serve the king, the Sudas Avra, Kala Am Mesubim Al Aretz, even though we know an oval sits on the floor, the king, because of his exalted position, the king has to be treated with utmost respect. So even when he's an oval, he doesn't sit on the floor, he sits on the dargish. Even though it's interesting to note, I saw a Yerushalmi, that the Yerushalmi says that even though the Melech sits on a bed when he eats the Sudas Avra and when he's sitting Shiva, that's only when there are visitors in the home. So when there are visitors in the home, the king, because of his position, should not sit on the floor. But let's say it's at night and there's no one else in the house. When the king is an oval, he is no different than anyone else, and he should sit on the floor. So now the question is, so where does he sit? Says the Gemara, on the dargish. So ask the Gemara the obvious question. Kul shata layosvala. All year, we're saying the dargish is the Aris de Gada. It's a separated bed that nobody sits on. Dafka the day, hahu yoima, dafka that day that he's bavelis, yosvala, that's the day he's going to sit down on the dargish, a bed that he never sits on, he's going to start sitting on when he's bavelis. Maskula Ravidi, so Ravina says, and what's so hard to understand? Neither to have a boso yayin. We said that the menu of the Sudas Avra is wine and bread, meat and wine. The kula shata, bay ochli bay lo ochel. The whole year, the king, if he's interested in eating, he eats. If he's not interested in eating, he doesn't eat. He certainly doesn't take food from others. Hahu yoima, by the shiva, ananya avinalai. He not only must he eat, but he must eat what others give him. So we see that when the king, or anyone actually, is sitting shiva, it's different. And therefore, yes, maybe he doesn't sit on this Aris de Gada, on the dargish all the time, but Rachman al-Shlam, when he's an oval, he does. Ella, Hakasha. This is the question. The Tanya, and we again have to review a din that we learned in Masech Ma'akotin. In the times of Chazal, it's one of the dinim of Avelis, was if the Rachman al-Shlam were Avelim in a house, they turned over all of the beds in the home. The Gemara, just to review, the Gemara Masech Ma'akotin explained, because we know, people don't pass away unless they did Averis. So what the lesson of turning over the bed is, that this person, so to speak, turned over the natural order, not acting properly, and that's why he passed away. We are not makbid, we don't do kafir samita. We learned the Gemara Masech Ma'akotin. The main reason is because we live amongst the goyim, and if a goy were to come into a home, the Rishonim explained, and see the beds turned over, they would think they were doing some sort of kishuf, some sort of sorcery, and that's why Chazal, we stopped doing this thing. But in time of Chazal, they turned over all the beds. And the Brisa says, Im sechtem moed cotton, dagish lo yoye kofeyo, a dagish wasn't turned over, ali zakfei. It was lifted up. And Farshim give two reasons why. One reason they give is because the dargish, as we will discuss more on the base, was made out of a leather sheet. And if you're going to turn it over and have the leather directly on the floor, they didn't have carpets on the floor, it's going to ruin the leather. So that's why they didn't turn it over. Another pshat is, unlike most of the beds in the time of Chazal, the Dagosh was a very low bed. And therefore, when you turn it over, it's really not that noticeable that it's turned over, because it's still low. And therefore, it was just lifted up. Now, the Amrit asked the Gemara, asked the Gadah, who, if we're going to say the Dagosh is the Ars the Gadah, for Tanya we learned in a Braisa, Kaifas Mitasoi, if somebody turns over his bed, Loi Mitasoi Bavaru Kaifa, doesn't only turn over his bed that he sleeps on, El Komitashiyash Labitacha Bayasu Kaifa. So if the Dagosh is a regular bed, why should it be treated differently? And says the Gemara, Loi Kasha, Mida the Hava Mitam Yuchedis Lakalim. It's no different than a bed that was used just to store utensils on. The Tanya, Im Haysim Mita Ham Yuchedus L'Kalim. If there's a bed that's designated specifically just to hold Kalim on it, Ain't Tzarech L'Kvaisai. And the Dagosh too, since it wasn't used to sleep on, it doesn't have to be turned over. And the Farshim explain, why is a bed that's designated just to keep Kalim on it not turned over? Because it's not a bed. It's a chest. A chest doesn't have to be turned over. Only a bed has to be turned over. Although, I did see from the Rajba, again, this halacha is not negaya now, not relevant in our times, that when is the halacha said that a bed that's used only for kalim doesn't get turned over? It's only a bed that it's obvious to anyone who enters the home that it's being used only to store kalim on. But let's say you have this bed, which is actually being used to store kalim. But a visitor to the home could not know that, would not know that. So because of Maris Ayin, that bed would have to be turned over. Ask the Gemara, says the Gemara, El Ikasha Akasha. The Tanya, Rav Shimon Gamliel Oimer, Dagosh Mata Mikibitov Vunoifam Eilov. The way beds were made in the time of Chazal was there were four posts to the bed, and then there was a leather sheet in the middle of the bed, and that leather sheet was connected by loops to the four posts. And the Gemara says that the Dagosh, the way it was undone when somebody was a Chaman Slan sitting Avelis, was just by opening up those loops. Ask the Gemara, Vi Dagosh Ars the Gadahu Kabita Miyislo. And the way most Rishonim explained the Gemara is as follows. All beds that were used in the time of Chazal had a way that they looked. They built all the beds in a uniform fashion. The Ars the Gadah, given that it's only there for good luck, didn't have any specific way it was made. So how could the Gemara in Masech Demai Katan make a hard and fast rule that you always just open the loops? That's only if that's the way the bed was made. But who says the bed was made that way? So says the Gemara, Ki Asa Ravan, Amas Shilta Lahu Mirabonan. I asked one of the Rabbanan, Rav Tachlifa Bamarava Shmei. His name was Rav Tachlifa Bamarava. The Mefarshim say not that Marava was his father's name, but Marava was that he was somebody who lived in Bavel, but would travel very often to Eretz Yisrael. That was Shchiach B'Shuka D'Tzali. He was very frequently found in the leather makers' shuk in their market. And as we said, beds were made out of leather. The mattress, the sheet. Vamalei my Dargish. What is the Dagosh? Asa the Tzala. It's a type of bed that's made with a leather sheet. Itma, Ezo Mitav Ezo Dagosh. So what's the difference between a regular bed and a Dagosh? Om Rabbi Yimya, Mita Mesagno Yisoy Al Gaba, Dagosh Mesagno Yisoy Megufa. The difference, the Gemara says, is that, as we said a moment ago, how were these beds constructed? They had a leather sheet that had strings, loops, attached to the post. So the difference between the two types of beds, the Gemara currently is suggesting, is that by a Dagosh, there are holes in the post, and there are strings coming out of the leather sheet, and those strings go through those holes, and that's how the sheet is attached to the post. On the other hand, by a bed, the strings don't go through the post, they go over the post, and that's how they're tied to those posts. Ask the Gemara, if that's the definition of a mita, meisvei, it says in the Mishnah, in Masech Kelim, kli eitz emes amekavim tuma. From when does a kli eitz become susceptible from tuma? So a mita varisa, these types of bed, mishir yushur from or hadag. From when they're polished with the skin of a fish. Because the halacha is as follows. No keli, no vessel, no utensil is susceptible to Kabbalah's tumah until it's completed. So if you have a vessel that's going to be completely visible, so you have to polish it. You're not going to use it until it's polished. On the other hand, if it's not going to be visible, if it's going to be covered, you don't need to polish it. If you have a floor that's made out of wood and you're going to put carpet on it, you don't have to polish that floor because it's going to be covered anyway. So here it says that the mita post have to be polished. Now ask the Gemara, v'mita, Mr. Regis Al-Gaba. If we just finished explaining that how it is a bad look, it looks because it has this loops on top of it, so then the loops cover the post. So lamali shifas aradag. So why would I need to polish those posts? They're going to be covered anyway. Ella says the Gemara hava hava gufa. Both amita and adargish, the leather sheet is attached to the post, not over it. But what's the difference? Mita uli vafuki bebizni. Dargish uli vafuki bevaksa. The difference is as follows. By a bed, you have loop, you have strings coming out of the sheet, you have holes in the post, and you pull those strings into those holes, you tie it, and that's how the leather sheet is connected to the post. On the other hand, by a dargish, it's not that there are strings going straight from the leather sheet to the post. What they had is as follows. They had the post had in them holes, and they put a loop, a leather loop, through that, through those holes, and then you took string that was coming out of the leather sheet and tied it through the loop. It's not very significantly different, but in both cases we have a situation where the post is completely exposed, and that's why it would need to be polished, and that's why the Mishnah Masechta Kelim says that until it's polished, it's not considered finished, and it's not considered susceptible to Kabbalah's Tumah. Amar Rav Yaakov Acha Amar Rebbe, Mitosh Naklita Yoitzin Zoik Vividaya. The Gemara tells us an interesting halacha regarding Zakifas Amita, turning over the bed by Avelis. They had very often, in the times of Chazal, beds with a canopy. But not a canopy as we would think, you know, a flat canopy with four posts on the four sides of the bed. Rather, they had it looked more like a teepee. They had two sides coming down, and the person laid under that teepee. So now if you turn over the, and it comes to a point on the top. So now if you turn over that bed, it can't stand because it's standing on a point. Therefore, the Gemara tells us, what do you do? If you have a bed that has this pointy canopy, you just turn it over, and that's enough. Not completely upside down. Amr of Yaakbar Idi Amr Bishum Alevi, Halach Rav Shimon Gamliel, the Halach is like Rav Shimon Gamliel, that by a dargish, you have to undo the leather, you have to undo the leather straps and have the leather claps onto the floor. So Mepharshim ask that we know that when we speak about Hilchas Avelis, the Halach is Halach Kamekel Ba'ovel. We always follow the more lenient opinion. So why over here are we following the more stringent opinion? And was saying that you have to actually untie the leather sheet instead of just turning it over. So some mefarshim say that when we say hilchas kamekel ba'ovel is when we have a shaila, when the halacha is the halacha, there's no room for kula chumra. Others suggest that this is not part of the actual avelis. But then I saw another interesting pshat in our gemara that we've learned today. The Gemara has suggested two different ways how to do the kfiyas amita, turning over the bed by the dargish. One was just standing it up, and one was undoing the leather straps. And until this moment, we assumed that these are two mutually exclusive opinions. One man dama holds untie the straps, one man dama holds stand it up. Say to Mepharshim, that's not the way to understand Rav Shimon Gamliel. The way to understand Rav Shimon Gamliel is Rav Shimon Gamliel is actually telling us a kula. That he's telling us, you have an option. I'm leaving it up to you. If you want, you could stand it up, if that's what you prefer. If you want, you could undo the leather straps. So then it does represent the kula, because he's giving us the option to follow whatever we want. Says the Mishnah, Hanoidim in the ear. A son who makes a neder that he won't enter a certain city is mutar likanes l'tchum shalir. We know that every city regarding Hilchos Shabbos has a tchum, 2,000 amma, and the halach is that if son made a neder that he won't enter the city, he may enter the tchum of the city. However, v'os likanes liburoi, he may not enter the ibur ha'ir, that's the 70 ammas and a third of an amma outside of the city. Aval hanoidim in abayis, if somebody makes a neder that he won't enter a home, Osam and Agaf Lefnim, he's only also to enter from the doorway inside. But even standing on the outside of the door, even though you're under the mashkoif, you're under the doorway, that's not considered you're in the home. And as the Tosfos Yontif explains, our mission is to be understood as a contrast. When we say that you're not allowed to enter a city, we don't say that only goes up to the boundary of the city. We extend it 70 amos. So one would certainly think that when we say that I'm not entering a house, we ought to extend it to include the doorway, teaches us the Mishnah, not that way. Says the Gemara, Menolon, Dibur Damask Masadami, how do we know that the 70 and 3rd Amma past the city is considered part of the city? Amr B'yachin Amakra, the Pasuk says by Yeshua, V'hi B'yais B'yeshua B'yirichai. We all remember the story as Yeshua and Klal Yisrael were encamped around Yericho, and a malach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Yeshua. And the pasuk begins in Sefer Yeshua the words, V'hi V'yos Yeshua B'Yericho, when Yeshua was in Yericho. What ask the Gemara, might be Yericho. What does it mean that Yeshua was in Yericho? Doesn't mean, ask the Gemara, Ilayim B'Yericho Mamish, that he was actually in Yericho. Ask the Gemara, B'Ksiv Yericho Segeres Umusegeres. Yericho was completely closed and nobody could enter. So Yeshua couldn't have been in Yericho proper. El Shema Mino B'Iburo. That he was in the Ibur, he was in the 70 and the 3rd Amma of Yericho, and it's considered as if he was in Yericho. So we see that the Ibur of the ear is considered part of the city. Ask the Gemara, Eima Fil B'Tchuma. Maybe even if you were within the Tchum, maybe if even within the 2,000 Ammas of the city, it's also considered like you're in the city. And says the Gemara, that can't be. Because the Pasuk says, the Torah when it speaks about the Ari Miklat, and the Torah when it says that not only the Ari Miklat protect someone who killed, but also the Tchum of the Ari Miklat have that ability, the Torah uses the words, Umadoisem Michutz Le'ir. So we see that the Tchum is considered outside of the city. The Chassam Sofer says that even though we're saying that the Ibur of the ear, the 70 and the 3rd Amos of the ear, are considered part of the city, that's only if they're just empty space. But let's say we have the border of Borough Park and Flatbush, and there is no empty space between that border. Real estate's too valuable. So you go straight from one to the other, so you don't say that the 70 Amos after the border is still considered one or the other, because it's already considered a new community, a new neighborhood, and therefore it's not considered the Ibur of the ear. There's an interesting machloikus. We learned this Gemara Masechta Erevin. The Gemara Masechta Erevin discusses when we discuss the halachas of Erev Tchumim, and the Gemara says there that we know, as we just mentioned, that every city, you're allowed to walk on Shabbos after the city 2,000 amos. That's the Tchum. Says the Mishnah that we give to the city Neustin Karfif. We give the city a Karfif, an Ibur, 70 amos. And there's a machloikis, what does that mean? A machlokes chachamim and rameyim. The chachamim say it doesn't mean that every city automatically just granted another 70 amos before you start counting the tchum. What it means is as follows. If we have two cities, city A and city B, if there is less than 140 amos of empty space between these two cities, the halacha views the two cities as one, and the tchum only begins after the most extreme point of any of these two cities. That's how the Chachamim understand. Remeir defines it as we just said, that every city, the Chalocha gives first an extra 70 Amos before we start counting the Tchum. When we look in the Shulchan Aruch, who do we pass in like? The Chachamim and Remeir. We find the Machlokes. The Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam, pass in like the Chachamim. Not that every city automatically gets 70 Am extension. Only in the case of the two cities next to each other. The Ramah, based on the Maram, Haskins like Rameyo, that we give every city automatically 70 amos. So the Mefarshim are all puzzled. How does the Ramah Paskin like Rav Meir versus the Chachamim? So the Mefarshim say, our Mishnah Gemara answer. Here we have a Stam Mishnah, which teaches us that every city is given the 70 Amma extension. So we see that every city is entitled to that extension. And since we see that every city is entitled to that extension, it makes all the sense in the world to say it by Erevin also. In fact, the Mefarshim say, now we need to understand the opinion of the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch. Our Mishnah clearly seems to indicate that every city gets the 70 Amma extension. So why don't we give it the extension by Hilchas Tchumim also? So Mefarshim said that they want to explain the Mishnah the way we explain the Mishnah. We explain, and that's the way the Ran explains the Mishnah, that every city, the first 70 Amas outside of the city, are considered part of the city, except for the case that we mentioned from the Chasam Sofer. They explain that the city ends by its boundary. But sometimes a city doesn't have a straight boundary. There are houses that protrude. Actually, it's shot at the Mefarish learns in Al Gemara. And he's saying that if there are houses that protrude up to 70 Amos, they're considered part of the city. So that really is consistent with the Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam. It's also interesting to note that even though Al Gemara just clearly taught us, and the Mishnah said it, that the 70 Amos outside of the city are considered part of the city, the 2,000 Amos past the city, the Tchum of the city, are not considered part of the city. But we do find in another area of halacha that that is not the halacha that way. The halacha is that if one is writing a get, a crucial part of the get is to write the city in which the get was written. And the halacha is, there's a machlokes, let's say the get wasn't written in a city proper, but it was written within the tchum of a city. Do you write the name of that city? So machlokes, the Panim Iris and the get poshet. The Panim Iris says you don't, the get poshet says you do. So the question is, our Mishnah Gemara clearly seemed to indicate that the Tchum is not considered part of the city. So indeed, why is that considered written part of the get? So if we go back to a concept that we've been working with, we have a very simple answer. Nedarim is a special din. Nedarim holkem achal lashem ne'odim. We follow the way people speak. So when people speak about a city, they don't mean the whole Tchum past the city. They only mean the Ibur, the city and its Ibur. It's 70 Amos, nothing more. Gittin is not dependent on what people say, how people talk. It's dependent on the halacha. Is this part of the city? Is this not part of the city? And the halacha is that the Tchum is not considered part of the city for Nedarim. It is considered part of the city for Hilchas Gittin. So we learned Av Ma'aga from Lechutz. We learned that if somebody made a net that he went onto the home, only inside the door, but in the doorway is not considered inside the home. Outside the doorway, he's not considered in the home. Ask Rameri, we spoke at the beginning of the shiur about Negebatim. So the Torah says, as the Kohen comes to examine the home, the Prophet says, V'yotza Kohen min Abayis. The Kohen identified that this home should be closed up because it has a neger. So we would think that the Kohen could go home and close up the house that way. And the question is obvious. How could he close up the home if he's all the way back in his own house? So the Rishonim give two examples. Either he'll have a long string attached from the house that's being locked up till his house, or I'll do it through a shliach. Tamaloyma al Pesach Abayis. He stands at the doorway. Says the Brice, Ia Pesach Abayis, Yochel Ya Metakas Amashkoif V'Yazgir. One would think that he stands under the Mashkoif and closes the home up that way. Tamaloyma Min Abayis. Atche Yetze Min Abayis Kulay. He has to completely leave the home. Ha'ketzat, what does that mean? Ha'oyma B'tzad Amashkoif, he goes past the doorway and then the Yazgir. Umanayin, however, continues the Brice. That he did go home. He didn't do it standing right outside the house that's affected. Well, I don't know if he stood under the doorway, which he shouldn't have, and he did the hezger that way. What he did is valid. the Isger is a bias mekal mokim. It's still valid anyway. So we see that while you're standing under the doorway, while you're standing under the mashkev, it's as if you're still standing on the house. So how could our Mishnah say that if I'm not allowed to enter the house, I am allowed to stand under the doorway? Answers the Gemara, Shani gav bias. There the Torah uses a specific word, the ksiv min abayis, actually yetz min abayis kuloi. The Torah is specific in saying that you have to leave the entire home. So that's why there the Torah insists that you have to be past the mashkoif. But normally, when the Dorim, that we go after Lashem and Adam, the halacha will be that as soon as I'm outside of the door, even though I'm under the doorway, it's considered I'm outside the house. A few interesting, two interesting halachas that I saw on this din from the Mishnah Lamelech. The Mishnah Lamelech says that even though the Torah and the Pasuk and the Brai says we're learning now is so specific how the Kohen, where the Kohen should be when he closes up the home, that doesn't still mean, he says, that the Kohen has to be the physical person who is physically closing up. He has to be standing in a certain place, but he could be giving direction to somebody to do the physical labor. Another halacha the Mishnah Lamelech says, and actually he bases it on what the Rambam says, that even though our Gemara just taught us that the proper place for the Kohen to stand is outside of the doorway, not in his home. But the halacha is that if he stood in the doorway, or he stood in his home, but the Eved, it's considered a valid Hezger. What would be the halacha, asked the Mishnah Lamelech, if he stays in the house that's affected, and he does Hezger? Will that, but the Eved, be acceptable? He says, that won't even be acceptable, but the Eved. You can't stand inside the home that you want to have Hezger on, that you want to have closed up and affect Hezger. You have to be outside of the house. Thank you.